This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here we go. It's hour five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. It's time to get to the bottom of this Mavs offseason. So exciting, so intriguing as Bobby Carolla, DLLS Mavericks, joining us now. All city here on The Fan. And a good afternoon slash evening to you, sir. How the heck are you?
Gentlemen, I'm good. It feels like it's been freaking ages. I'm ready to talk some basketball.
Man, it has been. We need to have you on more often, Bobby. If it was up to me, we definitely would. Let me ask you this. How sure are you Jason Kidd will be the coach at the start of the season?
Man, it really depends on who you ask and when you ask him. You know, Mark Stein is on our show, and he has insisted basically from the get-go that this is just kind of one-way interest. The Knicks want J. Kidd more than J. Kidd wants to leave. Mark swears that J. Kidd is all in on being the Mavs coach. Tim Cato is also on our show, and he's heard different. And now we're seeing national reporters say different things and, you know, classifying this interest as mutual and saying that J. Kidd might have a wandering eye. You know, as I see it, I think the offseason is in every sport really is full of posturing, but in the NBA more than any. And so it wouldn't surprise me if J. Kidd might be playing this up a little bit just to, you know, maybe secure a nice little raise or another year on the other side of his extension that he just signed last year, just to get a little more security and stability moving forward. But, I mean, it really depends on who you ask.
What have you learned about the how and the why Jason Kidd, you know, might not be totally satisfied with the job here?
Man, I mean, just to put my own – I'm trying to get in J. Kidd's mind as I'm saying this. I look at the Mavs situation. You know, Kyrie almost certainly is going to re-sign this summer, you know, get a new contract. But he's also almost certainly going to miss at least half of next season, if not more. And, you know, once you start getting to the point where your only point guard on the roster of note, you know, they also have Brandon Williams and maybe they'll bring in some guys in free agency. But your only real, you know, starting caliber, star caliber guard is going to miss 50 or 60 games. It becomes really tough to envision this team, you know, making it into the top six. They might be able to sneak into the playoff by way of the play-in, unless Cooper Flagg really is all that. And Anthony Davis has the healthiest year of his career, and they're able to make some big free agency moves or whatever. But as it stands right now, this situation looks a little tenuous. And, you know, there's a huge portion of the fan base that is still really upset about the Luka trade and about the way that basically everything went down last year. And so I could forgive J. Kidd for looking at this situation and saying, hey, a year from now, the choice might not be mine. The choice might be Patrick DeMonts, or the choice might be Nico's. You know, if this thing, you know, the Mavs themselves have said, we're trying to win a championship within the next 3 years, and they already struck out this year. If they miss next year too, then there might be some changes. And so, you know, I wouldn't blame anyone for kind of looking around and just saying, hey, if I can get to a better situation or a more stable situation and maybe make some more money along the way, I mean, I got to check it out. So that could be all it is, but it also could be, you know, more complicated than that.
So what could the Mavericks realistically even get back that would warrant them saying, all right, fine, let's do this? Or is it just, hey, if a coach doesn't want to be here, then adios.
Man, if it were me, I would make a trade. You know, Rick Carlisle was basically, I don't know, I don't remember exactly how the Mavs described it at the time in 2021 when Rick left to be the coach of the Pacers, but essentially it was kind of like a mutual parting of ways, and Mark Cuban kind of let Rick out of his contract, and so he was able to sign with Indiana basically as like a coaching version of a free agent. The Mavs did not get anything back for Rick. Now, it sure would have been nice to have an extra pick somewhere along the way to make a trade. I'm looking at the Knicks' incoming picks, you know, the future picks that they have. They've traded a lot of their own picks to try and make their team better, but in 2026, so next year, they have the Washington Wizards' first-round pick. The Wizards are terrible. That pick is top 10 protected, so it almost certainly will not fall outside the top 10. If it doesn't, it becomes Washington's second-round pick in 2026 and 2027. So the Mavs could score either like a low lottery, maybe like late teens pick if Washington just shocks the world, or they could get two pretty good second rounders over the next 2 years, which if I was Nico and I was the Mavs and I was actually negotiating a coaching trade, like that is the only pick that I would care about. The Knicks can keep the rest of them because they're a good team. Their picks are all going to be lousy, but Washington's picks are almost certainly going to be very good, and those have value either by way of trade or just drafting a player, say 35th overall in the draft, and you only have to pay him like $1 or $2 million a year to give you, you know, pretty good minutes. So I would target that pick specifically. Nothing else that they have interests me.
Bobby, how do you expect them to approach the point guard position? You mentioned the Kyrie Irving injury. Everybody knows they're looking for a ball handler. What do you think is their plan of action there?
I honestly cannot begin to tell you. You know, they, in order to basically make any moves of note this summer, they have to shed a little bit of money off their payroll to get under the second apron. There's a whole bunch of restrictions that come with being above the second apron. Right now, they're about $1 million above. And so if they can make one player disappear, it opens up a little more optionality. That's whenever you can start getting into giving guys, you know, the mid-level exception and doing sign and trades and things like that. Assuming they're able to make that happen, which I believe that they will, they could pursue guys at the minimum. You know, a big popular name among Mavs fans has been Chris Paul, but he's kind of gone on record saying he really likes it in California. And, you know, for all the Mavs fans that think they're moving to Vegas, well, they haven't made the move to Vegas yet. So I think Chris Paul is probably out of the picture. Another guy that's come up is Dennis Schroeder. You know, he obviously has turned down big deals in the past and ended up getting stuck playing for the minimum. But he had such a good year with Detroit this year and with Golden State before that, that he's almost certainly going to get, you know, a big, juicy, long-term deal. Otherwise, you're getting into names like, you know, veteran journeyman like Malcolm Brogdon, you know, someone like that. And that doesn't really move the needle for me. I would be more interested in exploring the trade market. A guy like Lonzo Ball from Chicago could be gettable, and I really like his game, even though he's dealt with a ton of injuries over the last few years. Jrue Holiday and Derek White from Boston, you know, maybe one of those guys gets moved. But, you know, based on the latest reports, Boston wants picks for Jrue Holiday. He's like 35 years old, and he's going to be making that many $1 million. That is a hefty contract for an aging player, and so I'm not really that interested in that. But I would be super interested in Derek White. But, you know, they don't have as many options as I think fans would like. But, you know, the most optimistic timeline for Kyrie is coming back sometime maybe in January, which means you only need a guard for like half the season just to get you through until then. But that's a really dangerous game because setbacks happen, back-to-backs happen, AD's own injuries will almost certainly happen. And so I'm not looking for a guy that can just hold the fort down while Kyrie's gone. I want the Mavs to get a guy that can carry them with or without Kyrie.
Bobby Carella, DLLS, with us here in the G-Bag Nation. So you're working with a who's who. You know, you got Mark Stein. You got our buddy Tim Cato. Obviously,
This podcast is powered by Men's T Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
A freaking legend yourself. Is there any
Kevin Gray, too.
Kevin Gray, of course, one of our alumni here at 105.3 The Fan. What's up with Nico? Is there like a power struggle here with Jason Kidd? Like, is there anything to Bob Myers being a consultant? Could they end up firing Nico if it ends up being like a Nico or Jason Kidd? And then Bob Myers ends up being the GM here, for instance.
That's tough. You know, 2 months ago, I would have said absolutely 0% chance of anything like that happening. But once you get the number one pick, you win the lottery, you get Cooper Flagg, suddenly this job becomes a whole lot more attractive to executives from all levels of experience. You know, I was thinking, you know, right after the season ends and the fire Nico fervor has reached its height, I'm thinking, man, this job just, I don't think that any super good, talented, highly paid GM would look at this situation and say, I want in, because you have an aging roster with an injured superstar in Kyrie and an injury prone superstar in Anthony Davis. And then a lot of guys on the wrong side of 30, but now you have Flagg. And if a change is made, you would almost certainly have carte blanche to rework the entire roster and take it whatever direction you want to go. You want to rebuild around Flagg, you want to retool around Flagg, you can do that. And so I think it is a more attractive job, but that's a long way away. I mean, Patrick DeMont seems pretty committed to Nico at this point. I know that might not be music to many Mavs fans' ears, but today that is the word. But if they start slow or they miss the playoffs next year, then maybe a change is made. However, kind of been one of those situations where if a change is made, it's only being made because they failed, which means the job isn't maybe as attractive as we thought. And so, you know, you want to create a situation where any sort of successor, whether that's at GM or at head coach or at star alongside Cooper Flagg, it's a good situation, a stable situation, a secure situation that they're coming into, because there is so much, even to this day, there's still so much off court emotion, heat, and tension among the fan base and the basketball community here in Dallas, where it would be really tough for me to take the job, you know, just because of how much just heat and angst there is among this fan base still.
It's Bobby Corella.
And I'm not blaming that on the fans. It is very well deserved by the Mavs.
Well said. Do you see timelines as being off as far as Flagg so young and Davis Irving being over 30, like you said there? Or is Flagg, you know, capable of having an all-NBA type of impact at 19?
All-NBA is tough, but I do think that dude is a legit bona fide defender right now. And you don't see that very often among rookies, especially at his position, wing, where he's probably going to be switching quite a bit. But he has the technique, he has the want to, the desire, the intensity, the athleticism, the length, the IQ, the know-how, all of that stuff to be on ball, off ball, rebound, get out, run the floor, everything. That dude is a defensive freak. I think playing alongside AD, and especially Kyrie once he comes back, let's say the Mavs want to do this two timeline thing, I think playing alongside them early in his career would be pretty good for him, because he did score quite a bit at Duke, but I don't know, just scoring 20 points a game in college is different than scoring 20 in the NBA. And what I would hate to do is throw a rookie in a situation where he's got to be your leading scorer or even your second leading scorer, like every night. Like, I want him, if he has a 20-point game, that's great. Hey, hats off. You did good, kid. I want him to think about defense, knocking down open shots, and then finding a couple go-to moves and then counters to those moves, like, in time. If you play alongside AD, he's got it going. He might draw double teams. Kyrie's going to be, you know, spoon-feeding you good looks on a silver platter. I think that, you know, some of these other guys on the team, Clay, whenever he gets going, has that kind of effect. You know, Najee Marshall is a pretty good playmaker. Like, these guys, even though they're older, can make his life easier offensively to begin with. And that could pay dividends later. I mean, even a guy like Luka, you know, he didn't totally take over the Mavs offense until late in his rookie year and mostly into his second season. And I think, honestly, that was a favor to him because he kind of got to figure out how everything works. And with Cooper, the learning curve might be different on both sides of the ball. But I don't mind a two timelines thing on offense early. But if it doesn't work in the win column, then they're probably not going to stick with it for too long anyway.
So what's your overall Cooper Flagg excitement? What's the comp for you? What do you think the ceiling is for a guy like this? Do you expect him to be an MVP-type candidate whenever he's in the prime of his career?
Man, I think best-case scenario, you're looking at a guy that every single possession, he is making a positive impact on defense, whether that is backside, weak-side rim deterrence or, you know, on-ball prowess, making a guy uncomfortable, getting physical, bringing an attitude to that end of the floor that can be infectious and also that you'd want to build around. And so that alone is very valuable. Offensively, I think his upside, you know, we were spoiled watching Luka come in and basically average almost 30 a game as a 20-year-old. I don't know this to be true, but I wouldn't expect Cooper Flagg to ever average 30 points a game. But he could be a 20, 25 point per game scorer for sure. You know, once he develops a little better, more consistent ISO game, you know, he's already a pretty good 3-point shooter, and I think he can be a very good 3-point shooter. And then obviously, you know, he's got the size to finish around the rim. So I think he can be a pretty competent scorer. You know, one comp I saw for him that I thought was really interesting was Kawhi. If he can be that kind of defender and that kind of offensive player, and Kawhi's been the centerpiece of some really darn good teams in his career. Obviously, injuries have derailed that, and hopefully that's not the case with Cooper Flagg. But I think he could maybe be that kind of player. Other people compare him to Kevin Garnett. You know, they're different body types. Obviously, KG was a little slimmer, whereas Cooper is probably shorter, but maybe a little sturdier. But that, obviously, Kevin Garnett was an unbelievable player. If he's 50% the player that Kevin Garnett was, I'd be over the moon. So I think somewhere along the lines of there, like elite, elite two-way player that is a nightmare defender and also the kind of offensive player that you might not build your whole game plan and identity around, but that you do notice on the floor more often than not.
Bobby Corella with us. It's been 100 days since they traded Luka. In light of that trade, looking at the teams that made the finals, went on deep runs, not only as far as roster construction and salary cap pie, but also style of play, where do you think these trends are heading in the league?
I mean, I've said this for years. Zach, you've heard me say this. Zach and Eric, y'all have heard me say this for like 5-10 years now, almost. Like, you can never have enough playmaking. You can never have enough shooting. You can never have enough versatile, switchable defenders. I mean, those are the three core pieces of any title team. And ideally, you want multiple players that can do two or three of those things. The thing that worries me about the Mavs roster right now, especially without Kyrie, is that they don't have a whole lot of playmaking. They obviously don't have a lot of three-point shooting. And with 80 at the four and, you know, whether it's Lively or Gafford at the five, that's not a lot of versatile, switchable defenders. And so you kind of have a stagnant team at both ends of the floor. You look at a team like Indiana, they play at a breakneck pace, but they're so switchable. They're so versatile. Every single guy on the floor can pass, dribble, shoot, you know, out to like almost 30 feet. OKC, same thing. You know, and OKC actually abandoned playing Chet and Isaiah Hartenstein together. They've gone small in the finals, and it hasn't actually worked for them. They're down 2-1, so maybe they go back to playing two bigs, but the Mavs have said two bigs is their identity. You know, the Pacers just ran a 64-win two-big team in Cleveland off the floor in five games last round, or two rounds ago, whenever that was. Like, that's not the model I'm trying to go for. If I'm trying to build a team in the NBA, I want shooting, I want speed, I want playmaking, and I want switchable defense. And right now, the Mavs don't have enough of that for me in any category. Granted, it's only June. There's still a whole, you know, 3-4 months before next season starts, but I'm looking to upgrade in every single one of those areas between now and opening night.
Sounds like you want a couple of trades to overhaul the roster and make it more balanced.
I would not be opposed. Do not tempt me with a good time. and names like a guy like PJ Washington is in trade rumors. Well, he can do a lot of those things. Like, yeah. I really like PJ. He's obviously got a contract to negotiate and stuff, so that could cause some issues. But, you know, a guy like Daniel Gafford, he's also going to be a free agent next summer. You know, he's not really any of those things. And so, you know, as much as it would pain the Mavs to kind of say, all right, this two center thing worked really well for us, we're going to go away from it now, like, that would be kind of tough for them to do. But if it nets you a good player, then you got to do it. But, you know, they've kind of painted themselves into a corner where in order to get better, they're going to have to give one of their already good players away. And when you didn't even make the playoffs last season, it really hurts to trade away good players.
Thank you so much for your time and insights, Bobby. We'll catch up with you real soon.
Appreciate you guys.
See you, Bobby. Bobby Corella, DLLS Mavs here with you in the G-Bag Nation.
This podcast is powered by Men's T Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or menstclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.